Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome. Well, each of today's three guests have pursued their passion with gusto, all to different ends. And we have a jam-packed show, so I'm going to dive straight on in here. Coming up later, we'll be talking with Seattle's Holly Brown. She's the publisher and host of the web TV series, TheBrownLounge.com, where good food, wine, and friends meet. And we'll find out Holly's lifelong passion for food and how that developed into a whole new career for her. And we might even get a recipe or two from her. We'll end today's show with Paul Hulick. He was a super successful businessman who institutionalized himself following a mental breakdown. Now, during that time, he was diagnosed by no less than 10 doctors with bipolar disorder who all told him, Paul, buckle up. You will never come back from this. He wasn't happy with that answer. He's written a new book called Stress Pandemic, and we're going to hear how he went in search of healing and good health, and we'll find out if he found it. First, I'm pleased to welcome Roxana Bahar-Hewitson. She's the CEO of Highland Group Consulting based in upstate New York. She's an expert in organizational development, behavior effectiveness, and human resources management. And Roxy's passion lies in empowering leaders to boost their performance and career goals. She teaches this subject at Cornell University and is known for her trademark Leading with Impact, Your Ripple Effect. Roxy Hewitson, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm happy to be back.
And, of course, Roxy was with us just a couple of weeks ago talking about five commonalities amongst great leaders. So if you missed that show, you want to catch her, you can listen to the podcast at conversationslive.net on October 29th. But today we're talking about the difference between a leader and individual contributor. What skill sets do leaders need to set themselves apart from individual contributors? What's that going to mean to us? So, Roxy, let's begin with this. I found this statement by Warren Bennis, I believe it was, who's written a lot on this topic too. So let's begin with this statement. He said, when we move from the individual contributor to leading others, everything changes. You are a star player one day, and the next day you become the team's coach. Success is no longer just about you. It's about your people, and leading others must be a joyful experience for you, or you need new perspective, new skills, or a new job. Do you agree with that, Roxy?
Absolutely. In fact, I think I've said that many times. I actually say that being an individual contributor and moving into a leadership role, the skill sets are opposite.
Actually
opposite. They're not just different, they're opposite.
So where do we begin then if we are an individual contributor? Can we become a leader? Do you think leaders are born, or do you think leaders can be made?
Well, leaders can definitely be made. Some people, I think, are born with talent that lends itself well to a leadership role, but that doesn't mean they activate that talent in ways that are successful. So it is a discipline. Learning how to be a leader is a discipline, and it requires at least four masteries: personal mastery, interpersonal mastery, team mastery, and systems and culture mastery. And I'm happy to share with you what I think about that.
Yeah. Well, let's start with personal mastery. So personal mastery, let's begin with what we need to know about mastering ourselves. That's always, always, always where it has to begin, isn't it?
It does. It has to. If you don't know how you're impacting others and you don't know yourself very well, it's pretty hard to get to know others and motivate them. The big difference here, and with leadership skill sets in general, is leaders focus on us and our work. Individual contributors focus on me and my work. And that's where we are rewarded all of our lives, is for our own individual contributions, whether we are, you know, taking our first step as little children, or, you know, our first A on a test or our first score on a team, it doesn't matter. It's all about us. You know, what are we doing? What am I doing? What am I getting rewarded for? In leadership, it's not about me. It's about us. And the shift is significant. Warren Bennis is exactly right. The shift goes from being a star player to a star coach. And can you make that shift or not? And that's a big question for people to ask themselves when they're in leadership roles. Do they really like it? Is it joyful for them? And it starts with personal mastery and knowing yourself.
Just shed a little light on the difference between a leader and a manager, because I do believe there's a big difference, as do many people. What's your perspective on that, Roxy?
Well, leaders are really focused on the big picture, whereas managers and the vision and taking people where they haven't been before. Managers, as Drucker said, leaders do the right things and managers do them right.
Right.
You know, so managers are focused in on specific things and specific projects and getting them to operate well. But it's the leader who is directing the process and the directing the vision. So leaders can certainly manage, but not all managers can lead. So it's a bigger job. It's definitely a bigger job.
Mm. So if I get to the point where I'm starting to learn some of the personal skills you talk about, mastering myself, what do I need to do to set myself apart and show those leadership skills in the workplace?
Well, both leaders and individual contributors who are going to be successful need to have a sense of emotional intelligence and emotional intelligence competencies. When you're a leader, though, the all of them really matter. And the one that matters the most is the big differentiator after understanding yourself is really the one that touches on developing other people and leading other people and building teams and creating a larger pie from the individual part. So leaders create synergy. Good leaders create synergy, and they have to be aware of the organization. They have to have really good social skills. You can be an individual contributor and do well in your own world without interacting with others a lot. Or mm-hmm. if you interact with others, you may have to do that well, but you're focusing on doing your own work, not developing others or leading others or taking responsibility for other people's development. You're only responsible for your own development.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people are really not meant to be leaders, I think, too, because, you know, there's that saying that we spoil many a great salesman by making him a sales leader. And mm-hmm. So if somebody is in a position where they're invited or they're promoted, invited to take on a leadership role and they really don't want to, what advice do you give to them, Roxy?
Well, if they don't want to lead, they're not going to be good at it. And I encourage companies that I work with to really focus on creating two trajectories in terms of career growth, one the more the technical side and the other the leadership side. Because you're right, what happens is that oftentimes the only way to get more money, more status, more recognition is to start managing other people and leading other people. So if that's not something you want to do, and I talk about this in my leadership courses a lot, you're really going to hurt yourself and you're going to hurt other people. So there needs to be a way for you to become a star individual contributor in order for you to grow and go up in terms of your own development and your own salary and everything else.
Yeah. Going back to, it all goes back again to knowing yourself and where your strengths lie and making the most of those strengths.
Yes, and also knowing where your challenges are.
Yeah.
Because no leader has it all. And if they think they do, they're wrong.
Right. So
they just don't have it all. So the best leaders I know surround themselves with people who are smarter than they and surround themselves with people who fill in the gaps. And they know themselves well enough to find people like that. I did that when I was in the real world, and I was in the real world a long time, and so that's why I love to talk about practical application of leadership issues. I'm not a good bean counter. I'm not a good numbers person, and yet I ran a $250 million budget. So, you know, that's pretty scary.
There you go.
If you don't surround yourself with
good people.
Somebody who really knows how to do that.
Right.
I knew I wasn't good at it, and I knew I was never going to be as good as they were at it. It just wasn't my strength. So.
Right, right. Well, we're right at the end of our segment, Roxy. So final thought, very quickly, you'd like to leave our listeners with, please.
The final thought is knowing yourself and knowing whether leadership is an enjoyable and fun experience for you and something that you really want to devote yourself to is pretty important.
Sounds good.
I hope think hard and long about whether it's the right role for them.
Okay. And your website, please, where people can find out more about you?
HighlandConsultingGroupInc.com.
Fabulous. And my guest there, Roxana Bahar Hewitson, and please do stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll be back with Seattle's Holly Brown.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Cornerstone Home Lending, we cover the world of animals. This week, November 18th, it's the third Sunday of the month, so Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, Medium and Animal Intuitive, will host the show for me. They'll be talking with Bob Vella about canine and feline caviar in the first hour, then it's open phone lines so Kim can help you talk with your animal or human loved ones here or on the other side. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Coming up November 19th on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. USA Today reported that the winner of the presidential election would influence how we should position our portfolio. So are there certain financial products that might benefit us? Should we change what we're doing or stay the course? And what exactly is the fiscal cliff? What does that mean to us? Financial advisor and author Gary Surak joins Vicki on Monday at noon for more of If Your Money Talked, What Secrets Would It Tell? If you have questions for Gary, send them to info@conversationslive.net. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
1150kknw.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I'm pleased to welcome in this segment Holly Brown. She's right here in Seattle with us. She's had a career in technology, digital marketing, social media, brand management, and customer acquisitions that spans 20 years. Her client partners include companies such as Weight Watchers, Disney Destinations, Microsoft, and Ogilvy & Mather. She's now the publisher, digital producer, and host of the web TV show, TheBrownLounge.com, where food, wine, and friends meet. Welcome, yes, Holly Brown.
Thank you so much, Vicky.
I think that kind of says it all. Are we wrapped now?
I think we're done. That's good.
So I know that you've had a lifelong passion for food.
Yes.
So, but let's go back a little bit, because sure. You were in digital media, you all this stuff I just read out, technology, yeah. Social media, brand management. How did you get into that and why?
Well, you know, it's funny. I have always had a real curiosity about what makes people respond to things in communications and PR and advertising and marketing. And so I think that was really a passion ever since I was a kid. That ended up being a career passion that I followed for, like you said, about 20 years. But personally, I've always been passionate about entertaining and food and bringing people together around food, around the table, particularly at home, cooking together and really enjoying each other's company, getting to know each other. So I got to a place in life and career where I just decided to marry those two things. And it's been really great fun.
There's actually, I don't think, anything nicer than really getting good friends together around the table, you know, like they used to in the old days.
Yes, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about how, when you started to transition from what you were doing to what right. You're doing now, and of course it's really an extension of, but you're doing it for yourself now,
sure.
Right?
Yes, definitely.
Did you quit the corporate world altogether?
So really what I started doing is, for the year before I actually started the brownlounge.com, I was working as the chief innovation officer for a national digital media company. And I was doing a lot of speaking engagements all around the country, and I was talking about what brands needed to do, which still is true today. That was only a couple of years ago. But, you know, brands really need to be publishers. They need to think about what they are truly authentically, what their content is, what their voice is. And I was really going around the country talking about be the content in terms of what my clients should do and how they should think about embracing digital media and social media. And the more and more I thought about that, the more I really wanted to discover, you know, and actually kind of create a brand myself that really actioned on that idea of be the content. And so I actually was at an event called Digital Hollywood in the springtime of 2011. And I was around all of these people, you know, coming at it from all these different perspectives. And I on the plane home that you know, after that conference, I decided that I was going to try something. So to answer your specific question, I started small while I was still working. Mm-hmm. And then over time, and I had a very generous and supportive CEO that I was working with, he sort of allowed me to try this. But the more I started doing it, the more that's really where my heart was and what I really wanted to focus on. So I went sort of part-time. I went half-time, part-time, and then no time in my job. And then I really dedicated myself full-time to right. what I'm doing today. And I treat it like a job. I do it like it's work. And I, you know, I work harder for less now than ever.
Well, hopefully that's temporary.
I think it's temporary. It's a startup.
It's a startup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you almost have to at some point make that break and say,
yes,
I have to give it my all or it's just going to stay the same as it is. It's not going to grow, right?
That's right. And the beautiful thing about being in digital publishing is you always know what's working, what isn't. You know what your growth rates are. You know what your trends are. You can look at every single social platform. You can look at Google Analytics and you know exactly what's happening. Mm. So you can build your business through understanding the technology and the programs that are working and those aren't.
Right. So some of the features you have the Brown Lounge weekly show on your website,
That's
the Brown
right.
Lounge blog. And I love right. the Brown Lounge. I mean, obviously you took Brown because it's your name.
Right.
But I just think it has a really great ring to it. I'm sure you're told
you.
That a lot, right?
Well, there is a story behind that, too.
Okay, let's hear that.
Well, it's a quick story, which is that, you know, because we do truly entertain all the time. I mean, my husband and I, he's a winemaker. And he and I just entertain all the time. And so it got to the point, and I have to say, one of my very good friends, Carrie, you know, basically started calling our home the Brown Lounge. And it stuck. I mean, everybody started saying, you know, are we going to the Brown Lounge this weekend? Or what's happening at the Brown Lounge? Or what are you cooking up at the Brown Lounge this weekend? So when I did this, there was no other name for it. It had to be that, because that's what it was. It was the online extension of the experience that we try to create for friends at home.
Mm-hmm. Good. And you have recipes on there, menus, mm-hmm. tips, tools, and techniques, but you really focus around the entertaining aspect.
Yes.
I think that's the key differentiator between you and a lot of other blogs and sites that just focus on foodie,
yes.
on being a foodie.
Yes. We try to do that. I mean, I think that entertaining and bringing people together around food is one of the most enjoyable experiences, enjoyable entertainment experiences you can have. But quite frankly, a lot of people are intimidated by cooking for others. They feel stressed. They don't have time. So my focus and my goal is to make it feel like it isn't complicated, to show how it can be done, and to demonstrate, show, and share all of the various aspects of, you know, bringing a dinner party or an event at home to life. And of course, you know, recipes are and menus are where it starts.
Right, right. So tell us how you decide what you're going to shoot each week on your TV show.
So many different reasons and wherefores. You know, I do try to stay focused on what's trending. So I pay a lot of attention to what people are talking about. I subscribe to all of the magazines. And not just what's trending in terms of food. I try to focus on what's trending in terms of entertainment, seasonality, and also I work with sponsors and partners to bring some of their visions to life too. So mm-hmm. an example of that is in the summertime we did a big promotion with the Spanish Table, which is a local retailer here, and we focused on just doing a fabulous paella extravaganza, which is something we do at home every year anyway. So it was like one of these things where we took something that we really do in real life in the summer, which is perfect time to do an outdoor paella party.
Right, right.
And we extended that to our online content with recipes, and we did a sweepstakes. And I mean, this was back in August, but we had a huge paella party at our home with two big paella pans. We fed about over 100 people. We had flamenco dancers. I mean, we really, it was pretty big. It was pretty fun.
And we didn't get an invitation.
Next year, for sure. Vicky, for sure.
It sounds a lot of fun, but I know a lot of hard work goes into this. Mm-hmm. I just cooked spaghetti at the weekend for a friend and myself, and I was like, oh, I forgot about all the steam and the heat and the big heavy pots.
Right. What to wear when you're having a dinner party. That's going to be next year on the Brown Lounge.
Well, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Holly Brown of thebrownlounge.com. And you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Coming up November 19th on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. USA Today reported that the winner of the presidential election would influence how we should position our portfolio. So are there certain financial products that might benefit us? Should we change what we're doing or stay the course? And what exactly is the fiscal cliff? And what does that mean to us? Financial advisor and author Gary Surak joins Vicky on Monday at noon for more of If Your Money Talked, What Secrets Would It Tell? If you have questions for Gary, send them to info@conversationslive.net. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills ya. Pass me a pancake, mandrake.
Eric's very pleased with that piece of music. Thank you, Eric. And welcome back to you. We are talking in this segment with Holly Brown of thebrownlounge.com. She's a passionate social foodie online and in her kitchen. And the creator of the web TV show, which you can see on thebrownlounge.com. So I want to talk, Holly, a little bit about some of your goals. We talked about how you transitioned from the corporate world mm-hmm. to creating your own digital publishing world, mm-hmm. which is very exciting, but a lot of hard work, I know. I want to talk a little bit about some of your goals now to take you from this stage to the next stage. What kind of vision you have mm-hmm. down the road?
Yes. Well, like I said, things sort of started with the recipes and the menu ideas because dinner parties really start with food. But the goal, and particularly in 2013, is to extend and expand in a couple ways. One is to really expand the menus so that people don't have to figure out which recipes to put with which thing when they're throwing a dinner party.
That's again, such a huge headache.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that's a great service. That is a great service.
So making it just, again, finding ways to simplify the process. E-commerce is going to be an important part of the 2013 plan. There's a couple of exciting things that I actually can't talk about mm-hmm. quite yet.
That's
but,
okay.
Partnerships that will be in the e-commerce arena. Continuing to work with other passionate, I like to say, professionals and passionates in the foodie world. Everybody has a point of view. You don't necessarily have to be a professional cook, a culinary expert, a restaurant owner, or a chef to have a great point of view and something to really share that's wonderful. And I want to reach out to people who do have something great to share
right.
and invite them onto the show to be a guest.
Well, that's a good point. Did you have formal training as a cook, chef?
You know, I've been to several culinary cooking experiences. You know, I've been to France. I've been mm-hmm. to cooking school in France and things like that. But no, it's really a combination of surrounding myself with foodies and just having a real both kind of, you know, intellectual curiosity about how things come together. And I also just have a feel for, and I've traveled a lot all over the
yeah.
world.
I think good chefs, good cooks are made. are born and then they kind yes. of, you know, elaborate on it. Because some people yeah. just never seem to master it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. Some people, you love it or you don't.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think, you know, some people love certain things. Some people who are great bakers are not great cooks and vice versa.
Very
they
true.
Don't even care to be.
Yeah.
So I'm both. I like both.
So you mentioned that this was full time for you now. Do you have children, Holly?
I do.
And how do you manage all of this? I mean, this is the burning question that probably, you know, women out there are thinking, well, this is all well and good, but I've got three children and a husband and a home to take care of.
And I have all of that. You know, I always say...
And do you still mentor MBA students at the University of Washington?
I do.
Wow,
I
yeah,
do.
You're a busy lady.
I do.
So tell
I
us
love
how you do
that,
it.
Yes. Well, I have grown children that are in college all the way down to a 9-year-old who's still at home. I always say you can have it all, but you can't have it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I live by that. So, you know, I focus when I need to focus on certain things, and my children really understand and respect what I do. I think, you know, my last kid standing at home, who's 9, is totally into technology and computers. So he likes to just grab his computer, sit it next to mine, and, you know, we're doing what we're doing, you know, kind uh-huh. of simultaneously. And again, I have a husband who's in the food and wine business with his own entrepreneurial adventure as a winemaker. So, you know, his label Siren Song Wines is as much his little startup baby as this is for me. So we support each other a lot, and he has a similar background, sales and marketing, technology. So we both are very much transitioning our lives into the next phase, the next stage.
How important do you think that background has been to get you this far?
Huge.
Because
huge.
I'm thinking, you know, some people might be thinking this is a great idea, but you've got to have some substance behind you
yes.
or some great help.
Yes, definitely. Well, when you're a startup, you know, you have to wear a million hats, as all startups do, whatever they're involved in. I think the things that have been the most helpful to me is my ability to understand how to use technology and technology tools. I'll say in the last year, just over a year since I've been doing this, I've learned to use more technology platforms than I ever have used in my entire life, from editing software to Facebook analytics and Google analytics to, you know, I mean, just CMS systems. And I mean, you name it,
right,
I use
right.
it and I do it all. So you have to have the ability and the willingness to try technology and to just like lean into it and live it. And also, I think everything, no matter what business you're in, you have to have an innate understanding of sales and marketing. In the digital world, you have to have a very deep understanding of what works and what doesn't work in digital media and social media. And while I feel like I have a lot of expertise that comes from a long line of career work doing it, I learn something new every day and I make mistakes every day. And I think, you know, brands do too. And so you just need to, you know, try something, be willing to just learn And also, like I said before, really track what's working and what isn't so that you do understand when it isn't working and, you know, to adjust.
Tell us what has worked for you.
Well, let's see. I think, you know, that's an interesting question because there's so many different aspects of what I do.
Sure, sure.
I think the thing that works the most in terms of our show, my show, is when I have other people come on and share their vision. I think part of what works about that is that it becomes more entertaining. You know, video is all about storytelling. So what I do on my show is I'm telling the story of how to prepare a dish. I'm telling the story about the application of that dish to a dinner party mm-hmm, or an event mm-hmm. or an occasion. And then we're telling the story of that person. I sort of, you know, I like to think that what I do is a combination of the aspiration of, you know, Oprah in terms of bringing great people and content and you know, ideas to the table, Martha Stewart in terms of lifestyle and living, and quite frankly, Steve Jobs in terms of technology and usability. And I always think that those are the things I'm trying to bring together.
Right,
lifestyle, great people who have a story to tell, and using technology and digital media and social media distribution to share it.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you're very familiar with a lot of technology because you're using it all. Mm-hmm. Do you actually film and edit your own film?
Yes.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
It's
gotten better
work.
Over time, let's just say. If you saw some of the first videos that I did, actually with the help of my now 18-year-old son, Connor. Thanks, Connor. You're awesome. You know, he got tired of it after a while, but you know, you have to be the master of your universe when you're an entrepreneur. The more you outsource in the beginning, especially when you're doing what I'm doing, the more control you relinquish.
Yeah.
And so I've in order to have it be the way that I believe it needs to be and to be great to my standards, I've had to own it and do it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to own it and do it, you know, forevermore. But by owning and doing it the way that I do, you know, I know what works and
yes,
I know
yeah.
how it works. So it also allows me over time to choose people that will work with me and help me grow this enterprise based on a real understanding of what's required.
And I think that's a very key strength because there are many times when we do need to outsource, when we shouldn't be spending time doing certain things. But the difference is, do you know when you should be doing that?
Right.
And do you know when you should be keeping the reins on that?
Right. I've learned that I'm good in front of the camera. I would like someone else to be behind the camera. I definitely know that.
So let's talk about some of the challenges beyond, you know, mastering software, because
yes.
that is a pain in the butt.
It
we
is.
All know that. We've all been there. But let's look at some of the challenges that have made you kind of question, well, you know, am I doing the right thing
right.
here? Because I'm sure you've had those moments.
Right. I think, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, again, and I've been in a lot of entrepreneurial ventures that are not my own per se, but I've, you know, in software companies and agencies and things like that, you define success by how much money you're making. I mean, everybody defines success that way. And people ask me all the time, that's the number one question, well, how do you make money? Well, I do make money. There are very specific ways to make money. But one of the things that you say to yourself is, am I making enough money? And is my success demonstrated by how much money I'm making? And only the individual person can answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
But I make money through advertising, sponsorship, and e-commerce, which will be a 2013 initiative. The thing that I have to constantly just level set with myself is every entrepreneurial adventure takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Most companies don't make money for 3 to 5 years. Most companies are taking other people's money to invest in them while they're still not making money, you know, for a long time. So I often have to just kind of sit myself down and say, I've got a couple more years before, you know, I'm going to really judge my success or failure by how much money I'm making. I just need to keep moving, keep growing, keep progressing, and continuing to move the needle, both in terms of the analytics that I'm seeing, the traffic that I'm driving, the page views, the visitors, the Facebook fan, all of that, that shows that things are gaining traction and you're building audience. And at the same time, you know, attracting sponsors and advertisers and building the e-commerce infrastructure.
Right, right. what was the most significant turning point for you throughout this process? Because you've been doing, was it August 2011 around that time when you launched? And you just launched a new, brand new website as well.
Yes, yeah. I would say there's been two major turning points. Most recently, actually a couple of weeks ago when we launched the new website, the turning point was really understanding and being clear about what the new website needed to be. That was a turning point because it meant that I really understood myself, what I was going for. And I was able to build a website foundation that will enable me to focus on what I want to do and how I want it to grow. So, you know, I think, again, for every company, you have to understand, like, what is it that you're trying to be? And really understand that deeply and make sure that that matches, you know, a consumer need or a solution to a consumer problem, as well as a business that you can build and nurture and grow. You know, the other turning point for me was really being clear about what I want in my life. And that came a little bit earlier. In fact, you know, it's kind of what caused me to decide to just do this full time. And, you know, for those young people out there, or even older people out there who are thinking about transitions in their life, you know, I think that three things are really important when you make a major life decision and then go forward. One is you have to be doing something that you're skilled at. So what have you learned to do? What have you been educated to do? What can you really do from a, you know, capability standpoint? And then what are you just fundamentally passionate about? Like, what would you do if nobody paid you to do it? And then the third thing is, you know, what were you born to do? What are you really good at? And I feel like, you know, I've been trained to do digital and social media. I'm passionate about food, wine, entertaining, and bringing friends together in that context. And I'm good at being on camera and interviewing people and pulling out their stories and helping them tell their stories and telling my own story as well.
Right. That's a key factor, helping them tell their stories. Now, I promised our listeners we were going to share a cocktail or a recipe with them. Do you have a favorite cocktail that you'd like to share with us since the holidays are coming up?
I have favorites in every category, I'll say that. So, you know, I am a martini girl. I love a nice, dry, straight up martini. I think it's elegant, and I love to serve cocktails at dinner parties.
You know?
I love the glass. Like, don't serve me a martini in some weird glass that has no stem. Yeah, it makes you feel, you know, like elegant and sophisticated,
yes.
and that you're at, you know, you're at an event, and you can do that at home. Just by starting with cocktails. So there is definitely a recipe for a martini. We actually have a video that I did with my husband, who's a fabulous bartender, by the way. And it's called the 3 M's, the Manhattan, the Margarita, and the Martini. And we always serve those at the Brown Lounge when we have a dinner party.
So what do you put in your favorite?
In my favorite martini?
Yeah.
I don't like frou-frou-y drinks, really. I say throw in the vermouth and then throw it out. Just leave a little residue around the glass. And then I do like mine shaken, not stirred.
Shaken, not stirred.
Yes.
Okay.
So Bond and I get along pretty
well.
There
you go. I was going to say, that's how Bond liked his, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Very good. And what about, do you have a favorite dessert or that's good for the holidays? Because I'm one of those people who loves dessert, and I don't like pumpkin pie too much.
Yeah,
but, you know, what other desserts do you serve at Thanksgiving?
I love everything. I love dessert. I would say that there for the holidays, I love our pear hazelnut tart. That is a fabulous and gorgeous recipe, and pears are great in the fall. Everybody who loves chocolate has got to love our triple chocolate raspberry cake. And what I do in the holidays is rather than do raspberry, I do peppermint. So rather than topping it with raspberries, I do peppermint crumbles. And then instead of using the raspberry flavoring, I use peppermint flavoring. So it just turns a wonderful triple chocolate cake into sort of a nice holiday.
There we go.
Yes.
And people can find out more about this at thebrownlounge.com. Plenty of recipes on there.
Yeah.
Final, very quick thought I want to leave our listeners with today. What do you know now that you wish you'd known 20 years ago?
Oh, my gosh.
Where you're at here.
I would say that I think I always wanted to do something like what I'm doing now. And again, back to the thing about kids, I think my kids, I wonder what they think, actually.
Maybe you don't want to know.
What are you doing on the internet, Mom? You know, but I always had a passion to be a performer and an entertainer, and I was able to sort of manifest that in some ways in mm-hmm. my marketing career. But I have learned that tapping into that thing that the thing you were born to do. Figuring out what that is sooner than later is probably the best path to success. Took me a while. Here I am, though. I'm going for it now.
Well, Holly Brown, you are a delight, and I thank you for being with us today and sharing your journey. I have a lot more questions, but we're right out of time, so I have to let you go. But listeners can find out more about you and the work you're doing and some of those great recipes at thebrownlounge.com.
Great.
Thank you so much for being with us. And please do stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be joined by Paul Hulick. I hope I said his name right. We'll find out soon. He was a very successful businessman. He built a $100 million company and had a severe nervous breakdown. He's going to talk about finding his way back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
OMG! Grammar abuses, no, LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Some people know a good thing when they hear it. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. My next guest is Paul Hulick. We've got the correct pronunciation right now. He was the co-founder, chairman, and joint CEO of Best Corporation, a pioneering organic foods company. He led the company to great success, and all of a sudden, life came crashing down. He suffered a full nervous breakdown, was institutionalized, ultimately diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And doctors told him he'd never come back from this mess, but he set out to prove them wrong. Since then, Paul has written a novel called Betrayal of Love and Freedom, based on his own experiences. He's been featured in Psychology Today and more than 120 newspapers, and has been interviewed extensively on radio and televisions, nationwide. His new book is called Stress Pandemic, and he shares his 9 steps to full and complete recovery. Welcome to the show, Paul Hulich.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Vicky.
Well, we're glad to have you here. We should say you are from New Zealand, but you live in New York right now.
Yes, I live on the Granite Rock right in New York, and that's where I wrote Stress Pandemic over the last 3 years.
There you go. Well, we don't have a great deal of time here, and your story is so intriguing and I think offers such hope to people who have mental disorders or mind conditions, as you've come to term them, that I want to dive straight on in here. So you were living in New Zealand. You're extremely successful as a businessman. You're living the dream, many might say. You built a $100 million company. You live in a 30,000 square foot home. You've got sons, a wife, you live in beautiful New Zealand, as we said, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of a nightmare. What happened?
Well, my neurochemistry got the better of me. That's all due to the stress response, your fight-flight scenario, and I thought I had the symptoms of stress under control. I was grinding my teeth and I had insomnia, but if you have any of the symptoms of stress, like anxiety, dull feeling in your tummy, feeling overwhelmed, having fatigue, feeling depressed, having unexplained weight gain or loss, increased anger, sadness or guilt, hyperventilating, the list goes on, the onset of diabetes.
Right, right.
And what happened was I reached out for help, and of course I was put on medication, but no matter what I did, actually, if I gave up business or if I went on a holiday, no matter what medication I took or what things I did to do, like took up yoga, meditation, I kept sliding until I had a complete mental breakdown and lost everything. But I survived, fought back, and I've never felt stronger or better. And that was 14 years ago because of my knowledge in pioneering organic foods in the early 1980s, I realized that a lot of the issues that we have are all to do with the neurochemistry, especially the 5 neurochemicals, serotonin, epinephrine, norepinephrine, dopamine, endorphins.
Right,
those
right.
5 neurochemicals make up the wonderful person you are, your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and moods. When you feel stressed, that's when they all come to play, plus the very challenging hormone cortisol, the stress hormone, and you get a complete dopamine hijack. That's when you reach for a destructive coping mechanism. And according to the Mental Health America survey, 45% of us Americans reach for food.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I've gained weight when I'm stressed. other people turn to alcohol or drugs.
Yes.
or anti-anxiety meds. But you were 10 doctors told you were bipolar, and this was going to be the condition for the rest of your life.
That's right.
You decided, heck no. And eventually, as you got better, because you did institutionalize yourself, not
yes.
once, but twice. You did it here in America, too, as well as in New Zealand. So why did you institutionalize yourself first? And then at what point did you decide, this is not how I'm going to live the rest of my life?
Well, I had to institutionalize myself so I could learn more about the condition, because they said that you had a chemical imbalance and you'll never be the same and you'll have to always be on medication. And I thought, well, even if I'm on medication, I want to be proactive and be as much the person I am. So I institutionalized myself to understand everything about depression, to understand everything about anxiety, bipolar disorder, all about addictions. Because I found that when I institutionalized myself, most people were coming back. And some
right,
of the patients
right.
were actual doctors. So because of me pioneering organic foods, I started to learn everything about neurochemistry and the neurochemicals, especially the ones the drug companies are dealing their drugs on, and that's to do with those 5 neurochemicals. I noticed that with the 9 steps, when they are used collectively together, they are very powerful in helping to balance the neurochemistry of the brain and the body. It's just like exercise. A lot of people don't realize there's over 7,200 nerve endings in your feet connected to every part of the brain and the body. Taking a brisk aerobic walk in the mornings can do so much to help balance the neurochemistry and fortify you against the stresses and challenges of the day.
Right, right. So let's look at the book itself, because you actually documented your journey with your breakdown and everything in your novel. But you do talk about it here in the stress pandemic in your new book. But you also document your 9 natural steps to wellness, which you say are the tools or the roadmap you can use to keep yourself on track. And they're very simple steps, but there's steps that if we don't incorporate into daily life, maybe you could end up where you were once upon a
time.
That's
right. And they have to be used correctly. Like, there's over 150 tools, Vicky, that you could use to combat stress. But if you had to build a house in 90 days and the person said, well, you only can use 9 tools, well, you better pick the right tools.
Right.
And they better be very
right.
effective.
Right.
These tools are for people on the go, people who want to do the minimum effort for the maximum effectiveness. There are 3 transformative steps. It's all about showing you and guiding you. Yes, a roadmap to actually take charge and learning how to say no, because the world has become a bit of a bullying place,
yeah.
And to also kick your bad habits. And the 4 practical steps, all to do with exercise and stretches, and all to do with meditation and earthing, and to do with affirmations, which are very powerful, the way to positive thinking, and also about sleep. A lot of people don't realize their circadian rhythm and don't realize that cortisol is highest in the morning, lowest in the evening, and that a lot of what you do, your serotonin cannot become melatonin so that you can sleep. So there's a lot of issues to all of it.
Right. You talk, a lot of these steps, I would say, are being very personally aware of what you're doing, being very mindful every day, every minute of every day.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. One of the steps is all about awareness, knowing that every action has a reaction and consequences. Knowing that you must have an awareness of where your level of stress is now and not allowing it to go to the next level. And knowing that from the moment you wake up, one of your senses comes to play, whether it's a sound or whether it's a sound or whether it's see or you mm-hmm. smell or hear, whatever it may be. And there's always consequences from it.
Right, right. And of course, you know, a very important, the last step is don't give up. And you document this really well in the book. It's very readable and very interesting. I mean, even for somebody who doesn't have bipolar disorder, we all have these little quirks, as you said, that you call mind conditions. You're not saying that everybody can be cured this way. You're saying you cured yourself this way. And there's a doctor's certificate I notice at the back of the book where he documents and certifies that, yes, you've been clean and off your meds, your bipolar meds, since 2000, which is amazing.
Yes.
And you certainly look good on it.
Well, thank you. According to the Mental Health America survey, you know, a lot of us Americans suffer, as we said, 45% with food and 42% with drugs and addiction and whatever. But the American Institute of Stress asked to review the book, and they came back and said it's a great guidebook, mm-hmm. well-researched mm-hmm. and scientifically proven and
yes.
more.
Yes, and that's what I liked about it, Paul, because I don't have books or guests on the show when they have not scientifically proven the steps and the things that they're talking about. And so I appreciate you being with us today. We're right out of time. That went by very quickly. The book is called Stress Pandemic, 9 Natural Steps to Survive, Master Stress, and Live Well. And my guest, Paul Hulich, and I'll spell his name. It's H-U-L-J-I-C-H, Hulich. Ish, right?
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah. Hulich, Paul Hulich.
Paul Hulich, there we go. Thank you so much for being with us today, Paul. Appreciate it. You can just Google him or put stress pandemic in. He pops right up on Google. And we have to fly out of here. We're right at the end of our show. Thank you so much for being with us today. You can reach me at info@conversationslive.net or 800-495-7617. And the podcast will be up tomorrow if you missed any of today's show. You know where to find us, conversationslive.net. See you next week. Live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.